Thank you for your good singing. It's a blessing. Luke chapter 6 in the scriptures this morning, if you would please. The Gospel of Luke, 6th chapter. Luke 6 and verse 6 to begin this morning. And it came to pass on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, "Rise up and stand forth in the midst." And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, "Stretch forth thy hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed with one another what they might do to Jesus. It's an interesting story, the man with the withered hand. It's often overshadowed, though, by the enemies of Christ. And I want to look a little bit at the man this morning. And see some things that are said here. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the Bible. As we open this passage in your word, Lord, teach us with it, Father, and use it in our lives, we ask. We pray for the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And ask, Lord, that you would take this and glorify your name with the word of God, we pray, and do as you please. And help me, Lord, not to say anything that I shouldn't. And we pray that you will bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look at verse 5. And he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. He's Lord. He's Lord of all. Everywhere the Lord Jesus went, he was in charge. He went to the synagogue, and probably nobody knew, but the Lord is asked to speak in the synagogue. And he takes the time to do the preaching and the teaching. And he reminds them that he's the Lord of the Sabbath day. He's the Lord. The Lord Jesus is in charge. He's in charge in this world. You say, "Well, I don't see a lot of his hand." Well, as we read the Bible, it's typical of these days. He told us what these days would be like. And wherever the Lord goes, he's the Lord. What he says is what matters. What he said to this man, what he says to us, is what matters out of his word. He went to the Saturday worship, the Bible says, at the synagogue, and was invited to speak. And who wouldn't want to hear the Lord Jesus and hear him teach his own scriptures? And he's invited. The Lord Jesus still needs to be invited, did you know? The Bible says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And in Revelation 3, it's the door of the church. He's standing outside. And if any man hear my voice, I'll come into him and sup with him, and him with me. What a wonderful time we will have with the Lord Jesus. But did you remember to invite him in this morning? We do a lot of other things, and we talk to different people, but did we hear the Lord knocking? It's funny, we can hear so many other things. You know, we can hear funny stories, and maybe some of us were gossiping, I don't know. we do things that we probably shouldn't in the house of God even. But did we let him in? Did you let him into your life, into your heart this morning? And the Lord was invited. And he should be invited to be with us. And verse 6 says that while he was there speaking, as of note here, says that he entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. There was a man of note there. He's stuck out. His right hand was withered. Now, the word withered means to be shrunken. It means to be probably twisted up, dried up, you know, bent around and all deformed, fingers in weird shapes. And the hand was useless. The hand was withered. It was unusable. Can't work much with one hand anyway, or work very well. And most people are right-handed. And if you're right-handed, the left is never as good as the right. I'm right-handed, obviously. I used to call this the dumb hand. And I probably shouldn't say that, but this one wasn't very bright. This hand could put a nut in behind where you could just barely reach. You could only reach with the tips of your two fingers. Put a nut in there and put the bolt in. Hold that nut only on the tips of these fingers and thread it in there without cross-threading it. It was easy to do. Then there was this hand over here. I hurt my shoulder, and even after it was recovered, I had to be careful, but a lot of the time after I hurt my right shoulder, I couldn't do as much with my right hand. This hand, it's funny, it's running with the same brain, but it doesn't seem to work the same. This hand had to learn to do some things, and finally it got pretty good at doing things, holding things properly, and being able to see where your eyes couldn't see. Your hand has to be able to see when you're a mechanic. But it's hard to work with the hand that isn't your right hand if you're right-handed. And at some point, this man was injured. He was not to say he was born that way, because if he was, it likely would have said so. But at some point, a working man, providing for his family, no doubt, was in some sort of an accident, and the outcome of that was this twisted, deformed, shrunken hand that he could not use. And it's good for us to remember how easily and how quickly your life can change. So fast. Oh, you're young. You think, oh, nothing will ever happen. You'll just be bulletproof your whole life. Doesn't work that way. And it's good for us to remember that the things that a day may bring forth, the Bible says. But he came into the synagogue this day, and in spite of what people might think about him and say about him with his withered hand, you know, people probably did what people always do. They probably called him names. Or at the very least said, you know, there's that guy with the withered hand. Forgot what his name was. Now he's the guy with the withered hand, you know. You never let others keep you out of the house of God, regardless of how you feel or what's wrong with you. You never know. Jesus might just show up there, and whenever he's there, he makes such a difference in our lives, and it's wonderful. And the outward deformities are easily looked down on, but we forget that the Lord Jesus can change a life. He can change our lives. He makes such a difference in our lives. And he can change outward deformities, as we see all so many healings in the Bible. We don't want to be like the other people who probably said, you know, look at the guy with the useless hand. He's here today. He came into the synagogue. And what's really bad, though, is not for a man to have a physical, or a woman to have a physical deformed hand, per se, but for the inner man to have something deformed about it. That would be an even greater tragedy if the inner man inside of us had something shrunken and deformed and crippled about it. And it can have easily enough. For example, 1 Timothy 2:8, the Lord's through Paul writing to Timothy, says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Without wrath or doubting. Don't pray when you're angry at God. Don't pray when you're angry at others. Settle that first. If you're going to pray, don't pray with wrath. Don't be bitter and complaining about how God has treated you. Come with the right heart, without wrath and without doubting. Don't come putting a question mark behind everything the Bible says, putting a question mark beside the Lord. I used to make the mistake when I prayed and saying to the Lord, can you do this? Can you do? He's the Lord. He can do anything. Nothing is impossible to him. And so I've been more careful in my latter years to say, Lord, I know what you can do. Will you do this? And that's what it boils down. What will God do for us? Come without wrath or doubting, the Bible says. Come without putting a question mark beside the Lord and thinking, you know, can you do this? But how about, I believe that you can do this, and I'll trust you to do it. Paul said, I will that men everywhere lift up holy hands in prayer. And interesting, the emphasis is on the holy hands. Our hands would be clean. That our sins would be confessed. That's the way to come to pray. Pray with holy hands. Otherwise, the hand you lift up might be a deformed hand. A hand with sin on it. What kind of a hand is that to lift up in prayer? Lift up holy hand, the Bible says. And don't have something deformed about your inner being if you're going to pray, because that's going to interfere. Or if you are angry with the Lord, or if you're questioning about him, come with confidence to the Lord and his word. How is your ability to pray? How's your right hand in prayer, we could say? Outwardly, you look good this morning. You all look very good. But if you never go to pray where only the Father sees, the Bible says to go into the closet. Nobody sees you in there, but the Father sees you and shall reward you openly. We sing the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, calls me from a world of care, bids me at the Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. And we could go on. Well, it's a wonderful song. We say, oh, that's just a song. Is an hour of prayer only a song? When was the last time you spent an hour in prayer with the Lord? A number of years ago, I read the life story of George Mueller of Bristol. George Mueller ran an orphanage, and he recognized the call of God on his life one day to start an orphanage. He started an orphanage without asking support or help from anybody, not from any church. He co-pastored a church with someone else, but there's no indication that he specifically asked that church even to help. Started an orphanage, and they prayed about everything. And the first day, they had rented a building, an old house, and they hired people to run the orphanage, take care of the children. First day comes, they open the doors, put a sign out. Nobody came. He said, we forgot to pray that God would send some orphans. And in millions of British pounds over the years, he prayed into that orphanage and fed all of those children with the results of prayer and clothed them and provided everything for hundreds of children as the orphanage grew. And he would spend some days 6 hours in prayer. Now, I cannot say that I don't know any time I've ever spent 6 hours in prayer. But it would do us good to be reminded in these days of busy, busy, busy. We're always too busy for God. And we're too busy to take time for him and to be alone with him. And we're willing to be with others or do other things or watch the television. But do we pray? Is your hand in prayer what it should be? Is it twisted and disfigured, or is it strong with the Lord? And we should think about what our inner men are like and how our walk with God is. Is there unconfessed sin in our lives? Are we filthy vessels, or are we clean and fit for the Master's use? Are we in the Word of God? Where's your Bible? You have a Bible at home. I have a Bible that I do my studying out of and preaching out of. I have an old Bible that I use at home. It's kind of tattery. It's my old Bible that I used to preach out of. In our house, I can find my Bible. I sit on the couch, usually in the same spot. I can reach over like that, and my Bible's there. It's there because, and my wife the same, because it's read. You know, there was a song years ago called Dust on the Bible. Dust on God's holy word. Shame on us if there's dust on the Bible. We should be reading the word of God. I hope you read the Bible every day. I hope you have time for the Lord to speak to you. It's good to have time to pray. It's essential, important. We must have time for the word of God as well. Someone asked Spurgeon, which is more important, reading the Bible or praying? He said, which is more important, breathing in or breathing out? And we need to take in God's word. We need to pray and ask for God's help. Is our spiritual right hand what it should be? We have time for so many foolish things in this world. I wonder if we'll be ashamed at his coming that we didn't take much time for the Lord. Do we witness for Christ? Do we speak to others of the Savior, the one who rescued us from our sins and how wonderful it is to be saved? Do we give to him? We're looking forward to that moment when we're going to be caught away. We're looking forward to being with the Lord. We might have a withered hand. There's a lot of things that we could have wrong with the inner man. We could have selfishness, for example, and keep trying to form life around me. Me, me, me. Well, how does this affect me? How does this benefit me? How does this make other people think of me? And it's just me, 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 when it should be the Lord Jesus, the Father in heaven, and the glory of God. Should not be me, me. It should be the Savior. We have a me generation. You know, what I want, what I enjoy, what I choose. And that's not really a walk with God. We can have bitterness in our life. We can feel hurt or overlooked by others. Feel that we have been mistreated. And if you've lived in this world, you've been mistreated. Somebody has mistreated you, but be careful that that does not spring up to bitterness. And that you are angry and bitter and frustrated and feel that you have the right to have that attitude. But how that spreads through all our life and does so much damage. The Bible says about bitterness, and thereby many be defiled. Many can be defiled in your life if you have bitterness. or unforgiveness, a refusal to pardon someone. Is it somebody you won't talk to? Is it somebody you won't forgive? You say, well, I was done wrong. And that's never the point. You want to talk about being done wrong? Let's talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Was anyone done wrong like our Savior? It's never the point, you know, what has been done to you. It's how you respond to that. And whether or not you've been injured by others, you can be kind. You can forgive. Do so from the heart, the Bible says. Our Lord said, you must from your hearts forgive. Otherwise your Father, which is in heaven, will not forgive you. You must forgive from your heart. Well, that means you can't just say the words, I forgive you, because you know, try to train your children, you teach them to say, you know, I'm sorry, and then the other one, I forgive you. Yeah, but if it doesn't come from the heart, that's not the thing, is it? Or maybe there's a secret sin in our lives, something that we feel is hidden from other people. I've got a point I'd like to make about that. There's no sin hidden from God. The Bible says all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We have to do with the Lord. He sees us for what we are, not what you hope somebody else sees you for. He sees us for what we really are. And if we hang on to a secret sin, surely the devil is laughing. We've believed his lies. We believed his lies about that sin. And and kept on with it. In order to be on the Lord's side, we'll have to confess that sin and flee from it. Materialism. The Bible says covetousness, which is idolatry. So many things, but things cannot satisfy. Things cannot fill the place for God. Things cannot fill the time for communion. It can't make the difference in your soul. Only time with the Lord can do that. And, love of things. It's so easy in this world to have a love of things. And then I can't talk about all the things that could bring a withered hand on the inner man. But let me say this. The greatest commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. That's the greatest commandment. Let me ask you something. What's the greatest sin? Is the greatest sin not the breaking of the greatest commandment? What do we love more than the Father? And what else fills the heart other than the Lord? And what monopolizes the mind and takes all of our attention? What diverts the strength of our life from serving God? What perverts the soul where fellowship with God should only be? What do we love more than the Lord? So if we ask ourselves, how's our walk with God? Are we in close fellowship with the Lord Jesus? If not, we have a withered hand. Not here, but in here somewhere. In the inner man, in the person that we really are. And there's something wrong, you know, if there are things wrong with us, but we say, well, I don't really care. I'm really not interested. You know, I'm indifferent to all of that. How could you possibly, as a child of God, be indifferent to what your inner man is? We should feel like this man in the Bible. He felt useless. He felt like he stuck out like a sore thumb, like he was out of place wherever he went. Somebody was pointing or somebody was laughing. Meanwhile, he can perhaps only make part of an income working with one hand. He can't do what he used to do, that's for sure. And then while he was there, the Bible says there were scribes and Pharisees watching him, trying to find an accusation, trying to find something against the Lord. But in verse 8, but he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man with the withered hand, rise up and stand forth. He knew their thoughts. He knows what you think. He knows what we're thinking. You know, if you're sitting there thinking, I hate this, or when will he shut up, or what is this idiot doing here anyway? You know, I mean, where's the pastor this morning? We can think a lot of things, but the Lord knows. Do we have a withered hand of the inner man? So the Lord said to the man, he said to the man with the withered hand, rise up and stand forth. You know, I don't think he wanted to do that. I wasn't there. But I would say that probably he didn't want to stand in front of everybody. It would be nice if the Lord would take and heal him as they were going out the door of the synagogue that day and nobody else was really watching. Wouldn't that be nice if you weren't a spectacle? Instead, what does the Lord say? He says, stand up back there now. Now come over here in front of everybody. Stand for them and let everybody see you. I don't think he wanted everybody to see him. It was bad enough that people already noticed he had the twisted up hand, but now everybody in the whole place will see that he has this hand. You know, sometimes the Lord asks you to do things you don't want to do. Sometimes the Lord asks you to do things you're not inclined to do it. You say, I really don't want to do that, or I'm nervous about that, with me, it's always if I have to talk to someone about the Lord. I don't know why, but there's always like, you know, I could talk about fixing something. I could talk about riding a motorcycle. I could, lots of things I like to talk about. But I talk to somebody about the Lord, now I'm nervous. You wouldn't think so. It's hard sometimes to do what the Lord wants you to do. But if you don't do it, you don't have the blessing after. There's always a blessing in obedience. And after you do it, and after you talk to someone about the Lord, or whatever it is the Lord would have us to do that you find so difficult to do, afterwards there's such a blessing. And such there's a smile put in your soul. Your hand's not withered. It's a wonderful thing. And Lord Jesus wants everybody to see this man. Obedience is everything. So important to obey the Lord in our lives. He came forth when he did not want to come. You know, we need the Lord. We need the Lord to work in our lives. Not just, I mean, he might look good this morning, but whatever is under there, hidden by this flesh, always needs the help of God. None of us are what we should be. Sin has left every one of us with a withered hand of some sort that needs to be dealt with. The Lord looks for us to admit our need of him. And then this man would admit his need as he would get up from his seat and walk to the front. And there's probably a platform of some kind where everyone could see him, where Jesus was teaching from, and where he would stand up there. And some people would rather not be healed than be exposed for what they really are. Confess your sins one to another. If you ever have to confess your fault to other people, it's that humble pie is hard to take sometimes. But you know what? You need to do it. If it's necessary to make things right with others, you need to do it. It's sad that some people would rather just go on with the withered hand on the inner man than have somebody else know. So much pride and so hard hearts and so much stubbornness. We've had our backs to God long enough. We need to face him and go to him. And so the man with the withered hand is there. And look what the Lord says to him. And so we come to the end here in verse 10. He said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. In every likelihood, that hand was paralyzed, quite possibly the shoulder as well. We're not told. But I wouldn't be surprised if stretching forth the hand like that was the one thing he could not do. Quite possibly the paralysis was more than just the hand and more than just the arm. And the Lord says, here's what I want you to do. He says, stretch forth thy hand. No, he doesn't come over and touch him. He doesn't do how he did so many other miracles. He has the man stand in front of everybody else. He's obviously standing away from a little bit. And he simply says to him, stretch out your hand now. And when he stretched it out, the Bible says, it was as whole as the other. It was as good as the other one. It was completely healed when he stretched it out. All he had to do was what the Lord asked him to do. It's funny, we hold back. We say, oh, I can't do that. I mean, he could have said, there's a number of things he could have. He could have said, what hand? Duh. You know, as if he didn't know what hand he was supposed to stretch out. Because he could have stretched this one out. And a man with a withered hand didn't make excuses. He didn't say, oh, I can't do that. He just tried to do it, and as he tried to stretch it out, the moment he tried, that's when God came. That's when the power of God came in to heal that man's arm and his hand, and he stretched it out, and it was just as good as the other one now. The Lord speaks to us. First, you have to trust him. I wonder if you're having something in your life this morning that you're having a terrible struggle with, trusting God to do the right thing. Trust him. And the moment you start to do what he wants you to do, his strength will come into you to be able to do what you need to do. Trust the Lord. Do we dare go on with a withered hand in our lives when the Lord says, stretch forth thy hand? You know, it's time to be surrendered to him. It's time to stop holding back. He did so, and his hand was restored whole or as well as the other. we just do what the Lord wants us to do, wonderful things happen. And, you know, there might be, you know, there might have been other people there, but here's the man with the withered hand. This man is healed. This man is helped. This man is blessed and restored in his life. That same healing and help and restoration can be yours if you go to the Lord with your problems. I can't go with them. I have no idea what they are. And even if I did know what they were, me going to the Lord is not the same as you going to the Lord. Go to the Lord with your problems and confess your sins and confess your need and receive that help that comes as you begin to obey Him in life. Thank you, Father, for the scriptures and for the time to look into them this morning. We pray that you'll bless in our hearts that there might be a right response to you, Lord. All people were pointing to this man with a withered hand. Maybe we were in the crowd. We surely should have said, I'm the one that's something wrong with me. And I need the help of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for the scriptures. May it minister grace and help and encouragement in our lives this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.